been hearing, Pope Benedict XVI is preparing to journey to the Western European nation of Portugal. It will be his first apostolic visit to the country, his 15th abroad since the beginning of his papacy. Benedict is the third pope to walk on Portuguese soil after Pope Paul VI in 1967 and Pope John Paul II in 1982, 1991 and 2000. The radio is always abuzz with excitement before and during what we fondly call a pope trip. It's our job to follow what happens minute by minute and take extra special notice of whatever the pope says and does. Well, my friend Veronica Scaresbrick, who works with me here on the English feature programme, is in fact going to be reporting day by day on all the goings-on. Right now she's already in Portugal, waiting for the pope to arrive at around midday on Tuesday. Before she set off, I asked her to sit down with me and tell me exactly what's on his schedule. So Veronica, thanks a lot for taking some time to talk to me about this trip.
Yes, well, Linda, it's a very exciting trip, and it's the second time I'm going to Portugal with the Pope. But the first time I went was with John Paul II, 10 years ago. So it's the continuation of a trip, in a sense.
And also you'll really be noticing the differences.
Yes, there's a new shrine in Fatima, because one of the highlights of the Pope's journey will take place in Fatima.
Fatima, you may already know, is a Marian shrine in the heart of Portugal. It's where it is believed Our Lady appeared to three shepherd children on the 13th day of six consecutive months, confiding to them the famous Three Secrets of Fatima. Since the apparitions, Veronica told me, many Portuguese pilgrims actually walk there from all corners of the country. Veronica, you were saying earlier something that struck me. You were saying that actually every year Pope Benedict XVI does make a pilgrimage to a Marian shrine. Last year, I remember he went to Lourdes.
I think he's been every year, starting with Częstochowa in Poland. The other one I went to was in Austria, Maria Zell, which had a sort of European connotation to it. Yes, he does this. And in fact, the motivation for this particular pilgrimage or apostolic visit, shall we call it, is Marian devotion. As I said, it's connected to Fatima for various reasons. There are a lot of anniversaries. It's 10 years since Pope John Paul II went there. And 10 years since, on that occasion, the two little children, Francisco and Jacinta Marto, were beatified, becoming the first two non-martyr children to become blessed in the history of the Catholic Church. It's also 5 years since the death of Sister Lucia, the eldest of the seers, who was actually present when Pope John Paul went there. And there's a little exhibition in Fatima on 100 years since Jacinta, the little girl's birth in 1910. The apparitions in Fatima took place in
1917. And right on this date, right?
Let's on the just 13th remember. Of May.
Exactly.
And in fact, all the popes have been to Fatima exactly for this date. And it's quite curious because usually the pope goes on weekend journeys, doesn't
mm-hmm.
he? As
right.
we know all
as
too
we
well.
Know.
But this time he's going from the 11th to the 14th, so it's from Tuesday to Friday. Paul VI was the first pope to go in 1967, and he went on the 13th of May. And John Paul II went every single time on the 13th of May. He went to Portugal three times in 82, 91, and as I mentioned, the year 2000.
And all three times he went to Fatima?
Yes, all three times he went to Fatima.
I was listening into some of your conversations and I noticed you were saying that it is, however, quite a complex trip. He's not just going to Fatima. He'll be travelling, first of all, to Lisbon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, beyond the date of the first of Our Lady's six apparitions in Fatima to the three little shepherd children in 1917, there is this more official slant to the visit. As you said, it starts in Lisbon, which is the capital city. He flies in from Rome on Tuesday the 11th. It's a three-hour flight. And as usual, there's the arrival ceremony with the president and obviously the Patriarch of Lisbon, Cardinal de Cruz Policarp, meets with him. And then he goes to a very interesting place, which I have actually seen on a leisure trip to Lisbon. which is called the Mostero do Geronimus, which is actually the monastery dedicated to Saint Jerome. It's the most beautiful, beautiful place. It's back part of UNESCO World Heritage. It's also where the Treaty of Lisbon was signed.
Well, I don't know about you, but I had to brush up my facts and discovered that the Treaty of Lisbon, signed by all 27 European Union member states, finally entered into force on the 1st of December 2009. Its aim is to make the EU more democratic, more transparent, and more efficient. But Veronica, meanwhile, had more to say about the monastery itself.
And in fact, the UNESCO World Heritage talk about it as a reminder of the great maritime discoveries that laid the foundations of the modern world in Portugal. If you think of it, everything stemmed from the fact that Lisbon is on this incredible river, the Tejo, they call it. And it's actually only 10 minutes away from the sea, so it's a sort of estuary. Mm-hmm. And so the Portuguese were great seafarers. I think the building, beyond the beauty of it, the thing I remember most is the cloister, which is in this honey-coloured stone and has actually these carvings of maritime things like ropes and sea animals. And then it has the chapel, which the Pope will visit briefly.
Is it an ancient monastery?
Yes, there used to be an even more ancient monastery, and then it was built for Vasco da Gama's return. And actually, the rulers of the time set a tax, what they call the pepper tax. Actually, I discovered that it was more of a spice tax, which obviously Vasco da Gama, who opened the passage to India,
right,
brought back from all his travels. So the Pope will be there briefly, then he'll go to the residence of the president to exchange gifts and then the Nuncio for lunch.
So this is the first day of his
first
arrival,
day. Yeah.
Which is already pretty busy.
In the afternoon of the first day, he'll also be saying Mass, and that's the first Holy Mass of this visit, at the Terreiro de Passo, which is once again on the river, actually on the river. And beyond the river, there's this great statue of Christ, a little bit like the Rio de Janeiro one. And it will provide a backdrop to the Holy Mass.
So this is an open-air Mass.
An open-air Mass, yes, in
which,
the Terreiro de Passo.
Imagine many thousands of pilgrims are expected to attend.
Yes, it's a big area. It's a beautiful area just by the river there. And in the Nuncio, there's an evening meeting with young people. They'll go and sing along outside the Pope's window.
I'm so glad to know I'm not alone.
Then we get to the 12th.
Which is day two.
Day two. And there's a meeting which might interest you. As a meeting with the world of culture. There'll be the president of the Commission for Culture of the Portuguese Bishops' Conference, Bishop do Nascimento de Clemente, who also happens to be Bishop of Porto, which is the last port of call, if I can say that. We've been discussing whether we should call it O Porto or Port.
Right, we still haven't decided
yet. So. It's in the north, and that's the last leg of the trip.
Basically, Veronica explained, the Pope's encounters during the trip focus on three main areas. The first being the world of culture, then a meeting with organisations involved in social work, and finally a meeting with priests. So that's Wednesday, May the 12th,
the day
in which he says farewell
to
Lisbon, and he travels to Fatima itself.
Yes, by helicopter. It's roughly 70 miles away from Lisbon, Fatima. He'll begin by going to the actual place where the apparitions took place. Our Lady appeared to the children above a holm oak tree. The holm oak tree, or anyway, one of the holm oak trees that were there, is still in this huge square in Fatima. Everything happens in this enormous esplanade there is. So there's this little chapel, and he'll go straight there, which is what Pope John Paul did last time as well, where he'll recite a prayer referring to John Paul II. And he'll be offering a golden rose to the Marian Shrine, one already offered by Pope Paul VI. John Paul II never offered any. What he did do was place, as we know, the bullet with which he was shot at inside the crown of the statue of Our Lady, a replica of the lady who appeared to the children. And
whom he believed saved his life.
Yes. He believes that she guided the bullet away from his vital organs and saved him.
Veronica, of course, is referring to the attempt on Pope John Paul II's life on the 13th of May, 1981, in St. Peter's Square. It is the very bullet that wounded but did not kill him that is placed, as Veronica says, in the crown of Our Lady of Fatima. Then he goes on to celebrate Vespers in the Church of the Most Holy Trinity in Fatima with priests and religious.
I've never seen that church because it's totally new. It was consecrated in 2007 and they say it fits in well with the square itself so that it doesn't take up too much space.
You were saying that there's a brand new shrine.
That's it. It's designed by a Greek architect called Tombasis. This is an important meeting because it will end with a consecration of priests. Let's recall, Linda, how in a month's time it'll be the end of the year dedicated in a special way to priesthood. And then in the evening of the 12th, he'll be blessing the candles. Let's recall that it's the eve of the date which marks the apparition of Our Lady, the 13th. So he'll be blessing the candles that will be taken in procession during the night because people camp out there. It's the most amazing thing. The whole square is filled with people and they just camp out there. And just behind the old basilica where the little seers are buried, including Sister Lucia, who died more recently in 2005. They all camp out. They're tents all the way around. It's the most incredible scene.
I've never been to Fatima. It's a very countrified kind of scenario, or has a lot of building been going on since Fatima became such a drawing point for pilgrims?
You know, it's very difficult for me to tell because, yes, there's as soon as you get out of the enclosure where the Cova de Iria, where the apparitions took place, there's a huge trinket trade, as I call it. So that part there is modern. But everything that happens in Fatima relating to the church happens in this big, big square. It's a bit like a velodrome. It's huge. It's also where the pilgrims that I talked about earlier arrive. And they cover the last lap going down the hill towards the Chapel of the Apparitions. They go down that hill on their knees or on their arms. And it's, you know, to thank Our Lady for either grace is received or to ask for grace.
Right. Then, as in all Marian shrines, in the evening there's a recitation of the Holy Rosary.
Yes, in this shrine it's rather special because Our Lady asked the children to pray the Rosary for the conversion of sinners. They were asked to pray and make sacrifices for the conversion of sinners.
So it's a central part of the cult there. This leads on to Thursday, probably the most significant day of this trip.
Yes, it also happens to fall this year on the Feast of the Ascension. The Holy Mass takes place in the morning on the esplanade I was talking about, the Cova de Iria. The Pope goes to the chapel, goes to the sacristy, prepares himself for Mass, and then goes through the crowds in his Popemobile. At the end of the Mass, there's always blessing of the sick there, traditionally, not just because the Pope is going. And then he'll visit the tombs of the Free Little Shepherd children and then have lunch with the bishops. One thing I'd like to mention is that there's a particular devotion in Fatima. The faithful carry the statue representing Our Lady around in the square, and people wave to her with their white handkerchiefs. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at it from a high point, because the first basilica that was built where the little seers are buried has two colonnades, and if you're standing up there, you see the sea of white handkerchiefs. And because the statue of Our Lady is carried, it seems like a sea, you know, with the waves kind of. It's a very impressive, popular ceremony. And it goes back to when people said goodbye, because Portugal has such an incredible coastline.
Right.
It goes back when the families of the seafarers used to say goodbye to their loved ones.
So do people come from all over Portugal on this particular day to celebrate Our Lady?
Oh, yes, they come there. A lot of them, as I said, are mentioned on foot and on by bicycle, whatever. There's a lot of international pilgrims as well from all over the world. Or at least the last time I was there, I met plenty of them.
So after the Mass, which will probably be the biggest, the largest event of the trip,
certainly,
I can imagine, he has lunch with the bishops and meets with social pastoral care organisations.
Yes, he'll be welcomed by the Auxiliary Bishop of Lisbon, Carlos Azevedo, who's also president of all things dedicated to social works and from of the Portuguese Bishops' Conference. So then he meets with the bishops of Portugal once again, and he speaks to them once again. There'll be lots of speeches.
Do you know in what language the Pope will be making his discourses?
Yes, Portuguese.
In Portuguese, he'll
be
speaking
Portuguese. Which
I don't
understand very well, but...
Okay.
Hopefully I'll get a translation.
And Friday, it's farewell.
Farewell, yes. He goes to
Fatima.
And he goes to Porto, which we were talking about earlier, which is the northern capital of the country. It's also famous for its port.
Absolutely.
We can't fail to mention that. He'll say the last of the three masses in the Avenida dos Aliados. And then he leaves directly without having lunch.
Veronica, what would you think is going to be the highlight of this trip?
Well, certainly Fatima. You know, he's going on the 13th of May. It's not just by chance that he's going there. So, you know, I think the Holy Mass there will be a particularly devotional moment, also because the whole devotion sort of comes to a climax. All those people camping out are there for the Mass with the Pope in the morning, so it will be very emotional. I must say that I have to add something about Fatima, that when you go there and you see these people who have this incredible faith, it's so moving.
Of course, Vatican Radio will be providing full coverage of Pope Benedict XVI's apostolic journey to Portugal during all of our broadcasts. So do stay tuned.